But even when you're in Buddhism, those who've come after Siddhartha, even when you're in Buddhism, living in a Buddhist culture with monasteries and teachers and the records of the masters readily available, it doesn't mean that you have the answers. The problem of birth and death, of what to do with life, remains, it seems. And this was the state of the great Japanese Zen master Hakuin. When he was a young boy, he wasn't known as Hakuin then, that was his Buddhist name that he was given in later life, but we'll just call him Hakuin. When he was a young boy, he was brought up in a pious Buddhist family, but he was keenly aware from a very young age of the impermanence, the fragility of all things. There's a very touching story where one day he's at the seaside with his family, and he's watching the waves come in and go out, come in and go out, the ebb and the flow, and it's windy and the clouds are scudding across the sky. There's all this movement, all this change going on, and he became suddenly overwhelmed with this change, this transience, this impermanence, and he kind of fainted. He just got completely overwrought by all this change. It was all happening too fast. And he said around this time, "Mother, is there nothing that doesn't change? Is there nothing that doesn't change?" It's so poignant, this. I find this very, very poignant. When you lose somebody you love, you ask that question. You're told repeatedly in Buddhist tradition that things are impermanent. But, you know, when you lose those you're close to, you just have to ask this question. Why does this happen? Is there no way that we could prevent this from happening? Mother, is there nothing that doesn't change? So he was really desperate. And she would tell him, being devoted Buddhist herself, "Well, the Buddha's teaching, that doesn't change." And Hakuin would love to hear her tell stories of the Buddha. But it wasn't always a consolation for him. His mother used to take him, go along to talks at the local Nichiren temple, where they would the monks would preach on the White Lotus Sutra. And, you know, it was all very kind of basic, pious stuff, I suppose. And one of the lecturers described very vividly the burning hells you go to if you harm living beings. And Hakuin found this just too much. He was very, very sensitive to this sort of thing. And he was utterly terrified. He wouldn't even take a bath because he didn't like the fire burning under the bath and the big cauldron that you would step into. It would just remind him so much of this description of these hells, and particularly of change and transience, of death. It was all very, very distressing for him. And, you know, his mother said, "Well, worship the family deity." So he'd do that. There was a kind of family deity, I guess, some kind of Shinto deity who he'd worship. And he'd keep asking the question, you know, "Take away these sufferings, take away, and make things permanent." And it would always, you know, he'd try and test this out, and it would always fail. He'd even worship Kuan Yin, Avalokiteshvara. And, you know, even she couldn't protect him from the impermanence of things. And his father would often mutter about, "Well, you're wasting your time and you're wasting good lamp oil worshipping these deities." Eventually, after getting permission from his parents, at 15, he joined a monastery. He decided, "Well, I've got to get to grips with this. I can't live in any other way." He went to a monastery, but even in this monastery, there were no answers. There were lectures on the White Lotus Sutra. There were lectures on Dharma. But there was nothing that was telling him what to do about birth and death, what to do about life. It was all very dull and formal. There was nothing to do with, you know, how you could, can you get to grips with the meaning of life. So at 17, Hakuin, like the Buddha, like Siddhartha, became a wandering monk. An unsui, as it's called in the Japanese tradition, an unsui, a monk drifting with the clouds and floating with the water in search of the way. That's really lovely, isn't it? A monk drifting with the clouds and floating with the water in search of the way. And he was always asking the question, Harquin, when shall we escape birth and death? He visited monasteries and teachers to ask them this question. This is an ancient Chan and Zen tradition, going around visiting teachers, putting the question to them, practicing with them. And at Zensoji Temple, Zensoji Monastery, a very famous monastery, he came across a story that really shook him root and branch, that just intensified his problem. It's a great story. You could call it the story of Yen Tu Shout. Yen Tu Shout.